let the meeting begin.
So we get paid. There's Marcus, good, right on time.
I was gonna explain it all.
Call it on time.
Right, good.
I explained that probably had a rather long day.
Very timely, thank you for coming.
Just get out.
What do you mean?
Roll call.
Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Citizen Decker, English.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas.
On his way. Yes. Okay, the first item on the agenda is approving the agenda for today's meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Approved.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye. The second item is the minutes for the last meeting. Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oral communications, are there any communications from the public? Communications from others on the team, okay. Staff reports, financial reports?
Do we have one?
Of course.
Glad you don't see the time it was printed.
I'm sure I can guess.
Thank you.
Sorry, staff has seen this for the first time.
Do we have one for David?
Yes.
He's definitely come.
Pass phone.
So, I'd say before I jump into the details, typically this is included in your packet. A lot of various excuses, none of them I care about. But we did close them up today, so reports were generated today. We feel these numbers are good, accurate, as always. I added a disclosure, so I want to slow down and give you just some big level comments. If you look under the where it says the month April 2014, you'll see new preliminary unaudited. I'm going to just make sure that that's there all the time. Because essentially, even though these are monthly interim reports, we have the expectation, or I assume there's an expectation that, of course, our auditors haven't come in and audited the last month's records. It's always a good common practice to have there. On the second page, I'm looking for some feedback. David has talked about having some data presented in chart formats. We're starting to get enough months behind us, or have, I wouldn't call it credible data, but have easily accessible data. That we can start printing schedules out on the chart. So this is just we'll explain this in details, but I just wanted to put to attention there's a new addition in here. I'm not sure that this would be a continuing one depending on its usefulness or functionality. And we may be able to make other modifications, but I just wanted to call that out to your attention. The following pages are, as always, the detail to the snapshot report. So our dashboard report. Detail for the revenue, detail for payroll, and detail for all the operating lines. So you have the entire package in front of you. As far as getting into the numbers for April, April finished strong. I wanted to use the word not as strong as your prior month, but still $96,000 is a strong month. You've had some really strong months in this particular year. Your year-to-date is well over $1 million, $1.1 million. When we factor in what we think we still might spend in the remaining 2 months plus, sure you recall, in governmental operations, business operations, our end of the year ends June 30th, but even into July, August, and often into September, we're still being bringing expenses paid in July, August, September back into the month of June as far as our accrual period. So although you might think, well, it feels like we're going to get close to $1.1 million, there's still opportunity to catch up on other spending once there's some amounts that are there.
So is the rule that if the expense is accrued in the fiscal year, that it's booked in that year?
Yes.
And that's why we go out as far as it takes to?
Not as far as it takes, but reasonable this year. Definitely anything in July, without a doubt. Once we get into August, we start applying minimum levels of materiality. And in September, then it's a higher level of materiality. Mm-hmm. Timeliness trumps accuracy. Accuracy with a big asterisk. We strive for 100% to the penny accuracy. But if it causes us to wait 6 months to produce a finance report, then it's not meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So if we open the accrual period up until December, then you won't see the reports until March or April, and by then, it's yours.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry, probably too much
got some good news on the Library Finance Authority, too. We seem to be going, still going positive. We'll see
what you got the letter? Yeah. I couldn't include it in the packet.
Oh, it's okay.
You probably didn't have a chance to see it.
I haven't, no.
It was what we expected. I mean, it was what we've been...
They patted us on the back and hit us in the knee. It was all right. It's not bad. We wound up walking away with more money. So.
And property tax was down where we thought it, how we thought it was going
to go. Right.
As far as ground-up amounts, revenue is still ahead of budget, 2.5%. Expenditure is still below budget, 7+%. So the trends are continuing as we've seen. Sales tax came in a little bit smaller in April than we thought. It brought down your year-to-date number from a 7-8% range down to 5.8%, still ahead of budget considerably. So we're still doing fine in that revenue line item. Payroll costs, you're under budget by 3.5%, 3.7% to be precise. That's expected. We have a vacancy and some other amounts that we know about. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything in here that catches up completely off guard, other than in our balance sheet section. Scroll down into boxes on the bottom corner, bottom half of the page. For the month of April, our short-term debt, which is really accounts payable, was abnormally larger than most months. We had $129,000. There was $40,000-plus that was paid out in the first week of May. It's just more of a timing difference. Payments came in place, but the accounts payable process just happened to be May 2nd, May 3rd, May 4th. So there were amounts that would typically have been paid up in April, thereby that payable is not at April 30th would have been lower. But it is a bit higher than the trends would normally point out.
I think the computers will hit May.
Otherwise, your ratios continue to be very strong. Your current assets and short-term liabilities still over 2.7. Current assets, actually, that's...
Is there a decimal point here?
You know, I'm going to resend those to you. I know exactly what's happening there. This was a human error by your esteemed finance director, Marcus Pimentel. In my endeavors to get the chart out there, I had to manipulate the order of some of the deals in the sub-reports, and I'll claim this one. I intentionally forgot to update the links, so they're pulling them off deals. My apologies. I just got focused on getting the graph the way I wanted it to.
I explained that you're rather busy these days.
No excuse, though. I should not have taken that endeavor to try to get to the graph. I should.
The graph is a lot of good information,
yes.
And perhaps too much on one graph?
I think it is, but I wanted to at least start with have a context that's available there. And what I thought, what the intent, so if no questions on the details of, then I'll update those ratios and I'll email that out to you as the updated schedules.
Okay. One question, since for some reason I get fixated on Teresa's plumbing problems here, and we're way under budget on facilities, building and facilities.
Got plans for the money. So
we'll
spend on other things that we're budgeting.
Besides sewage?
Besides sewage.
Oh, okay.
The problem's been there for several years.
So I shouldn't. Really
so another month.
Got it. Okay.
Actually, I don't know what prep we have to do for, but as soon as the budget's approved, assuming we approve a budget on June 3rd, we'll start arranging to get the work done beginning.
So I'll endeavor in going through the chart and answers, and black and white, I think you got my first draft. Are your charts in color?
Yes.
I have one that's black and white.
Thank you.
So I'll explain. What that chart is grabbing is those current ratios and reserve ratios. For me, it's helpful over time to look at where trends are going. And so less about what the chart is saying, it's following the lines. So if you look left to right on any one of those lines, other than the big black one, that looks like a roller coaster, the boardwalk effect of hell, they're going in an upwards direction. That very bottom line, the current assets to long-term debt ratio, you want to be at least 1-to-1 where your current assets can pay off the mortgage, 13-to-2. So that is your current ratio as of the month of April. That was incorrectly linked on the prior schedule. But if you look from where we were in July to where we are now, it's stronger than what we were in July. If you look on the cash reserve, the next line up, it tracks your cash reserve as a percent of revenue. So if it's right now, your current policy is 5%. If you have by 16, 17, you want to be at 10%. So this is tracking, are you above that 10% line? So if you look at that faint purple-ish line, you're finishing April 22.3. So you're 22.3% reserved, well above your 10% that you want to be in 3 years. The next big line that's fluctuating, that's your current assets to short-term liabilities. You want to be 2-to-1, that thing's hit 154-to-1. So the reason it's so strong is because you have so much cash and so little liabilities in the short term. You normally don't see a business operation that's got that big of a swing, but you have that model. The reason I've truncated that line is whether you're 60-to-1 or 150-to-1, it's still plenty cash reserves when compared to your short term liabilities, especially when you want to be at least 2-to-1. So those indicate the lines. I grant you that current assets line is almost irrelevant other than just giving a sense of magnitude. Wow, it's better than 2-to-1. It's past the 60 on a regular occasion. We've had months where it's 154, other months where it's 80, so it's a very strong line for you. The bar charts, what that represents is your cash reserves by function of a month. So in February, you have 3.5 months in cash. March, you drop down to 2.4, and April, up to 2.7. That February was an aberration. That's where the county paid us earlier than normal, so we had an extra inflow of cash in February that wasn't seen in March, and then balanced out by the time March was over. If you compare that bar chart to that really horribly drawn mainly line there at the 2.0 mark, that 2.0 represents 2 months reserve. So how does your current cash over time compare to that 2 months reserve? What if you had a 2 month reserve this entire year? How would you have looked? Well, you would have started the year under that, and you would have finished the year ahead of that schedule. And we'll lead into that a little bit when we get into the budget, talk about the projections and where that's going. But that's the sensitive order of data that's there. Asking the master to try to incorporate some type of charts. And I grant you that this may not be the final product that you want to take to the full board, but I wanted to start with the type of data that's readily available and get from you, are ratio comparison trends useful? Would you rather see revenue expenditure trends, budget to actual trends? I'm looking for feedback today or in the coming months.
I'll start, if you don't mind. I think sometimes it depends on the industry that you're looking at in terms of the ratios and how the cash is used. Because I think for a public entity like the library, this might not be as useful as maybe benchmarking how much we're spending on technology, for example, or resources, or how we're using the cash that we have, how these compare to other similar agencies, like other libraries. And I know there's not a lot of comparisons based on how the structure is, but I like to see graphical information, and I'm really pleased how this has come together over the past couple of years with the snapshot. But if we start to look at graphs, I'd like them to be maybe not necessarily operation markers in terms of how, from a financial standpoint, more how it relates to the actual operations in terms of are we, whether it be meeting a particular performance objective of spending money on technology investment or facility improvements, so how that translates to operational metrics, if that makes sense, rather than financial metrics.
I will amend that just slightly. Compare it to healthy library systems.
Yeah, healthy library.
Because you can look at, I am certain that a professional can look at other library systems across the country, and if you look just under the surface, you can go, these guys are getting in trouble. And there are others that say, oh, look, this is what they're doing, a good job in the collection, and their facilities are good. Okay, so it's just like we do all the time at budget time. What are other cities doing as a percentage of their revenue for police, for public works? And it kind of gives us a warm, fuzzy feeling that we're tracking with other well-run cities, all of us. I'd like to see the first and last item on the graph. The rest of it you can leave out, as far as I'm concerned, because they're not bad numbers. It's just they're not always relevant.
Sure.
I think there's another chart for that, for multiples.
When you say first and last, what?
I'm talking about number of months in cash and cash reserve. So we can just see where we are with regard to cash reserve. Putting the other two in, current assets versus short-term liabilities, assets versus long-term, they're so skewed just because of our cash position now that
they're not useful today.
They're real, but they're just not as useful, especially coming up to a time when we're about to retire our only long-term debt. That's going to send the number, you know, through the roof, and it's not.
Perhaps about to get new debt. Though.
Yeah.
Which is one of the questions I had tonight, but we'll carry on.
Thank you. That's the feedback I'm looking for. It's very helpful.
The kind of information you're looking for from the libraries, just so that Marcus knows, is typically only available on an annual basis, usually runs a year behind, so it's really hard to.
But I'm sure maybe you talk with your colleagues. Aren't you the president, or you're involved in a library? Like maybe get shoot through your social.
Those secret librarian meetings. We know they happen.
The problem with that is the comparator, and we just don't have good comparators pretty much anywhere. I mean, if you want to compare based on population, if you want to compare based on budget.
Certainly,
the system is really hard.
Yeah, certainly if we spend 80% of our total revenue on personnel, and I believe we have a well-run library system that is alive and continues to live, then I would expect that's probably the norm even a year.
Then you have to stay in California, because when you get to personnel costs, California is an aberration. I mean, that's why I kind of need to know kind of how you want to compare.
And I was up in there too. What waving the white flag of sorts. No, don't take this the wrong way. I like to commit to data that we can achieve in a timely achieve.
Yeah.
We can drum up, and I'm sure me and Teresa can both figure out to do some of this on the moment research, but keeping that up every month or.
Certainly not. It's nice, especially at budget time, to get a feel for what is the national average. And I understand California's an average, but from what I've read of libraries across the country, they're. Marginally funded everywhere. So with the money they have, if the system is functional, even though they're in Ohio, they'll still spend 80% of what they have, and they would probably be aghast at the kind of budget we run because they don't get that in Ohio. You know what I'm saying? It's still proportionally.
Maybe I can work with Marcus and show him what's available nationally for libraries and in California.
Follow this conversation. What is in terms of library systems that you feel are like a model system that you would like to, you know, say they do a great job in technology or use services, and how do we benchmark against those to say this is one where they're using X percentage of their budget, Mike was saying, towards technology investment or use services, and we start to look at those as comparables to give us an idea of, are we doing enough in this area or not enough?
And the way libraries do that is through population survey. So typically you compare yourself to other libraries in your population, give or take, and you can decide 5%, 10%, 5 higher, 5 lower. And that's pretty much almost a random thing. So you'll come out with some city libraries, some county systems, maybe a district. And I can't remember exactly if I do that for us where we end up. Because if I look at some of the model systems, some of the really ones that you want to emulate, they're often much, much bigger.
But
percentage,
we talked about Ohio today and the fact that their facilities bond was twice what we're looking for the maximum, and lo and behold, they have twice the population. So there are some things that kind of key in as a percentage, but I don't know. I mean, the funding sources could be so skewed that the New York Library, San Francisco Library, the way they infill their employee benefits compared to the way we do it is night and day.
Great conversation with Dave today, by the way.
I'm hearing two different areas of interest. One is benchmarking for planning purposes and annual comparisons and so forth. I think the other thing that Marcus can do and does extremely well is give us the what actually happened and trend it and compare it to what we projected it should be. But I think trying to get Marcus involved in benchmarking
that's a lot of work. that I don't think the board would profit by on a constant basis. I think that, as an example, I think we're really good at the 10% goal for collections and trying to attain 12. If every other library in the country only does 20, then I have to scratch my head and go, so every other library spends 20% of their budget on collections?
And
where's our thinking incorrect? I know that's not the case. I know that we're ahead of the curve.
And we can do that. And so what I would suggest is give me some time. But there are there's actually some databases that they're electronic because we can search them. We can pick comparators. You can base what you want to compare on. And population, like I said, is usually the first one we use, service population. So I can take a look and see who our comparators, I just can't remember right now,
right,
who our comparators are up and down, and see if some of them are ones that we would admire. I know that there's a couple in there that are around our size that are also county, that are like, or district. It's like, no, we're not, it's not even close to a good comparator.
We replace damaged and lost collection items all the time. Do we have a higher than average rate of material that's lost, or are we on a par? These are the kind of things, just gross.
That one I can
numbers.
Answer from experience.
I have no doubt. It. That's why I threw you the softball.
That data's not out there.
Really?
When I was in Oregon, we were looking at doing away with our gates like we did here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a national survey. It wasn't scientific, but I put something out nationwide saying, okay, what are your loss rates and how do you, you know, all that kind of stuff, how do you deal with it? I got back with, I'd love to have that data. We don't have it.
Really?
We got a little bit of information that's kind of used as a ballpark, but it's really not, libraries just, it's really hard to measure.
So it's mixed in with the collection?
Yeah.
Data, so part of that 10% or 8% or whatever the average is replacement.
Is replacement. And very few libraries track that separately. We did in Phoenix. You had a separate ad. My selectors had separate ad and replacement budgets than they did for new. But it never got reported anywhere that anybody else would have had access to it. Whether or not they're still doing it, I don't know.
Can we move this one along?
Sorry.
So let me.
It's such a great subject.
It's a good subject. Yeah.
Let me look at. Give me some time here, and I'll show you. I'll get to some of the benchmarking that we know can be done, and then you can react to it, and we can work through and see what you might find interesting.
I'm looking for ammunition to fight for things that we should be doing and we aren't.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what's available. You'll decide what you want.
And let's go back to Marcus's question, which is, is this chart what we want, or do we want to simplify it, or turn it into two charts, or whatever? So we're talking about what to present to the board.
And cash is always easy to explain. That makes a lot of sense. It's just a lot of charts, just on cash. Cash is either as a percentage or a combination of a number of months.
And we have a definitive goal that we've discussed, and we can watch it as it moves back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with Mike. Just the two data points, number of months in cash reserve, and I don't think the others is going to vary that much. I mean, we see it as, I mean, the income, the revenues are pretty stable generally.
Thank you.
Okay. Just where do we come from in revenue in July? Where do we start there? No, I just think it's dropping down from somewhere else.
Oh. Yeah, we started incredibly strong.
Right.
I mean, it's a ratio, so it's a lot of underlying factors.
Can I ask a question about the bar data chart? What's the difference between the blue bars and the red bars?
Dark green bars?
Bars and lines?
The bars, some are blue, some are red.
Those were my experimenting. this is a work in progress. I was trying to find a color that turned into, honestly, to be really candid.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure which one it was, and I'm still not quite sure.
I just wanted to observe that the months in cash and the cash reserve, that's really the same graph. One's a line and one's a bar, but they're really the same.
The same, but different. One by percentage points and one by number of months in the sports talk. That's looking close. Point taken.
Any other, budget update?
Okay, so you kind of went over this a little bit at the retreat, and what you have here, actually probably should let Marcus talk through, is the detail behind the summary that he gave you on, and I didn't give you the summary again, but for the five-year projections, and just note that it's 2013 board retreat, not 2012. I think I printed this from an earlier version. I did. I printed it from my computer. Are the numbers right? Did I give them the wrong numbers?
Yeah, that was one of
them. That was the wrong one?
Yeah, the first drafts.
Okay. Okay. He's got them. Never mind. Get rid of this one.
So this is the one that was handed out on Saturday?
The one I just gave you.
Well, this is the detail behind it.
Throw it out.
The,
so, okay.
The one I had at your place. Toss it.
The one from Saturday?
No. The one that I just put in front of you when you got here. There was one there in front of you.
It's very little.
Look at the top detail. It
says 2012 on the top. Get rid of it.
Right.
This one. Sorry, I couldn't talk to him. He was in negotiation.
I don't think there was one here. All right, so that's fine.
There's a few differences in some of the numbers, but
yes, that was a much earlier version.
Okay.
When we were still working on links between operations, between payroll, between different systems.
Sorry about that. That I'd bring it, I brought the wrong one, which I got it.
Yeah.
So really, this is kind of the detail on the 13-14 proposed budget. If not so much the projections to look at, but rather than redo the budget, this is just kind of the detail behind the summary that you got on Saturday. Just breaks it down. Information technology is broken down into the various areas. My intention is to give the board more of the summary to pass rather than this kind of detail, unless you tell me you feel like this kind of detail, this column, you know, if you look at the column 13-14. The other part of this is the reserve policy. My sense from the retreat was you were accepting Marcus's recommendation, so that will be incorporated into the June 3rd budget approval. Will also be approving the new reserve policy. So I just wanted to just check in with you on that. We'll look at the budget if there's anything different that you want presented. And we'll take this column and pull it out. You're not going to approve a five-year projection. So.
I can do that for your information. I printed to the last page on the bottom. Summarizes your ending fund balance over the years. I printed what that would look like with the 2 month already. What was put in right there is the current 5% number. So I thought it'd be helpful to you to understand the implications of that recommendation. So when you're ready with
Go ahead. This is really, we went over it last time. I'm not, you know, we're not really wanting to belabor it, so unless there's any questions about it, this is what basically you'll see come forward. It's incorporated all the things that you said to incorporate, the board said to incorporate.
Mark, I don't want to catch you at the tail end of negotiations. You're thinking 2% on personnel costs?
Yeah.
It's pretty rational.
I think we're, for 13-14, I think we're, you know, within thousands of dollars. Not quite pennies, but I think we're about on the market.
It's promising.
Yeah.
It's promising.
Careful I say that.
No, know, I understand.
Bargaining in public or anything.
I understand.
Like that. But I think we're going to hit what we believe.
And it seems like you're running about this. You're projecting about the same revenue loss. In the 2-2.5% range.
Yeah.
As a step along.
Yeah.
It's as good a guess as any.
Typically at this point we probably do a closed session with the board with an update on negotiations, but we are expecting an economic proposal from SEIU on May 29th, and then it's going to be presented to City Council on June 4th. So the timing's not really very good to present it to the board on June 3rd.
Are we okay in a closed session the day before your council?
I'll check in on Wednesday. We have a check-in this Wednesday with
it gets delicate.
Yeah, so.
Even in the best of negotiations.
Yeah. Right, so I have to see if whether we think it's, you know, so we may go ahead and schedule a closed session if that's appropriate, if it's appropriate or not.
Yes. And this is just as background. I thought the information in the slides was really helpful and kind of easy to understand. I was wondering, I know sometimes we put reading material in at the end of the board packet. It'd be nice to have those, even though they were a public meeting, but put them in to the packet for this board meeting just because it would help. I think it would help support some of the materials that they'll see. And it's not that you need to present it during the board meeting, but at least
PowerPoint's written communication.
Just as information.
Okay. Yeah, I do intend, Sean is supposed to get me the notes from the retreat sometime next week, and at that point I would post everything in a packet from the retreat, but I don't have it yet. I mean, I want to do it all. But we'll put that in as a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But I can put the PowerPoint in written communication, no problem.
No, I'm satisfied with all the materials. I think we've seen it. I don't have any other questions.
Did you hand out? Yeah, why don't we have this just so you have any information?
In our last meeting, we were talking about the reserve policy, and you raised a concern about 2 months versus 3 months. Have you reconsidered that concern?
I've let it go for this budget period, but I think that it's the right direction to go, and it falls somewhere between the least funded and most funded of the libraries that we saw in that unscientific report. It feels better, especially in view of the past few years.
Yeah. To be discussed in the future.
I think that we're moving in the right direction, and it's good, and it's not outlandish. And you know, the only not concern, but questions in a need to be convinced sort of idea from Marcus that we're about to retire our only long-term debt. We have very low, slightly fluctuating short-term debt. And in view of all our other plans with regard to facilities, what's the rationale to incurring more debt? Because you made some proposals at the retreat about, somebody's debt's good. And it makes good sense. And I'm trying to make sense of making good sense with more debt.
Well, my perspective, those comments are purely financial. Interest rates are historically low.
Right.
If you believe you're going to be borrowing at some point in the future, borrow now, not 5 years from now. So borrow, if you're ready to go with capital projects, borrowing now makes a lot of sense. Locking that debt for 5 or 10 year period makes a lot of sense right now. So that was purely the motivation. Not necessarily a recommendation to incur debt. I'm not necessarily a fan of the current debt. But it feels like the board is considering a lot of capital consideration.
Yeah, that was the other piece, is what the debt's used for, I think, right? So if we're borrowing at a low cost for like long-term infrastructure investment, I mean, that seems to me like a good use of resources, especially if borrowing costs are so low right now.
It was not a recommendation just to borrow and put cash aside trying to figure out how to spend it. That was not at all what I was trying to point out. It was assuming that you got the board is interested in doing some significant improvements. Now, understanding there's some political discussions it's appropriate to do that.
Sure. I'm a fan of shopping. I understand. Okay. It's all good.
But the idea of taking on debt has to be balanced with the budget to pay for the interest and principal charges. And that isn't baked into our current plan or into our next year's plan.
And the rationale of the use of the debt.
Yeah.
And also the political aspects of preparing to go to the voters, potentially.
Right.
And what that message sends. Yep. Message itself.
Okay. If looking at the broader, if there's other competing measures too.
Yeah.
A lot of moving pieces.
And I'd throw out there now is, so let me just be hypothetical onto it. Teresa and I have scratched the surface on the conversation, so I might be jumping ahead. I think I already did with this chart thing.
Yeah.
That was coming.
Not easy.
If you could negotiate, for example, with the county treasurer or City Santa Cruz or another agency, kind of a line of credit, why not do it now and lock in those lines at a relatively low rate? And it's atypical to do a line of credit with another government agency, but it never hurts to have that available. express willingness to have some conversation about it.
Being able to do interagency, loans, especially when you're 100 basis points over late, that starts to get really attractive because no one anywhere, even iBank, won't give you those kind of rates.
I think there's some error. These are all time-sensitive things. We'd be creating transactions outside of the city of Santa Cruz loan transaction that people aren't necessarily used to loaning interagency. So with that comes politics, analysis, time. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's more in category of during the conversations that you're having about capital. Just make sure you explore your opportunities now.
There's also some costs that might be associated with building facilities that we want to incur early on that could then be paid for out of, say, a bond. I'm thinking, say, it's design. Design can be paid for out of the bond itself, but maybe we want design before we have the bond because we want to show people what things will look like. So my understanding is we could borrow money to, say, do the design work and then pay it back out of bond proceeds, right?
Yep.
So there's that, it's just that kind of course, if the bond doesn't pass, we still have to pay it back, but we would be borrowing money that we had the ability to pay back regardless of whether we got a bond or not.
But if we're going to have that kind of a discussion, doesn't that strategy need to be part of the fiscal plan for the year that we're talking about so that the ins and the outs are covered by our operating plan?
The subcommittee, the SMP steering committee, that's going to be its short name, they'll be coming to the board with some recommendations of how to proceed. And it doesn't have to be in the budget per se, it can be done.
Oh.
Have they met?
Yes, we've met twice.
Twice.
Yeah, twice.
Because problem is finding a time to meet.
Evidently.
But we've met this morning, actually.
Okay.
All right. So it can be handled outside of the budget process.
Oh, yeah. We can change the budget any.
Okay.
One thing about that's new for me, even though it's been 4 years, is how easy it is to change the budget during the year here. I mean, you have to have a reason.
We're talking about the order of magnitude here is so small in comparison to the whole facilities plan that it would easily fit within a budget adjustment.
Okay. Marcus, you want to talk about this chart?
Yes. Not a whole lot of detail to it. It's only one page. Simply stated, it shows as if the board had adopted previously a two-month reserve policy. You start with I'm looking at the box, about mid-page, starting header, ending fund balance. So if you go to the first shaded column, that's proposed budget for 13-14. 13-14 is projected to end the year $2.4 million. Ending fund balance. With a two-month reserve of $2 million, you end the year with $400,000 still available for other utilization or just to build up other reserves. None of the other reserves that the Finance Committee has talked about, at this point, I'm not necessarily recommending funding them. I think it would bring your remaining available too small of a number, and then you are, by default, already in jeopardy of violating one of those reserves. So the intent of this schedule is just to confirm that if you were funded at a two-month level, it would appear you had sufficient still capacity above and beyond that amount without jeopardizing something.
But that, I mean, the first year, 13-14, that the remaining available is right about at the two-week operating level.
Yes,
so
yes.
As soon as we plug that in, that number goes to zero pretty quickly.
You may decide you want to use that. You may want to get some short-term debt and use that $403,000 to pay back some short-term debt in order to do something.
You do have the ability to. If we were talking, based on how these numbers play out, and if I were to have, using the word, if I have credibility in my numbers.
And you do.
The confidence factor, 90% confidence, 80% confidence level. 14, 15, 15, 16 would be the time I'd say, let's target that for the year as we start bringing in different reserve components. And that back to this committee is, what do you think is more important, an operating reserve, a capital reserve? What would you like to see recommendation I'm looking for is, will this committee be willing to recommend to the full board the 2 month reserve? And during the course of this upcoming fiscal year, we can evaluate which next reserve we bring online and what the timing of that it would be.
So in our budget, in our next meeting, we're going to be approving the budget for 13 or 14.
Yes, 14.
We would include in that budget the 20% or the 2 month reserve.
Yes.
But we would defer funding the 2 week reserve that we agreed to conceptually in the meeting on Saturday for another year or two.
We could also make a recommendation to have the 2 month as the goal, and during this fiscal year, only strike a 6 week as where we have to be, and fund the other items, because there's some things in here that are significant. Because the 2 week operating day to day is probably more important to our director, even though this money is all fungible, it's all moved around. Mm-hmm. It's just the idea, I think, maybe as a policy, the 2 month, but as a reality for this year being slightly less. I don't know. It's six of one, half of another. It's just a matter of, what we want to present,
That's it.
Perceive that.
So take 2 years to fund the 2 month reserve, maybe, and fund the 2 week reserve sooner.
I'd say with your remaining available, still unutilized, you essentially have your operating reserve. It's just not designated as a reserve. That affects it. And it gives Teresa ultimate flexibility to work with the board. So, as you pointed out, I think I did run a schedule of what would be the 2 month and the 5 week, and it got really tight in one of the years. And
right.
So in 13-14, you're actually negative 61,000.
Right. And there's a glaring item here, especially since we know we're on thin ice facilities-wise, not having facility capital project. And I know that the rest of this is also potentially for disasters, that there's the day-to-day disasters.
Well, we did budget 250,000.
Right.
And to address the most glaring, egregious things that were identified in the facilities plan. So the sanitary sewers, the windows at Garfield Park, and I can't not remember.
And maintaining that is prudent and should be part of the thought process.
Yeah. So,
how do we budget for the, we were talking facilities, but I know we had that big expense last year for the bookmobile. And that's, while it's not a true facility, it's a
marble
library, but how do we treat that in terms of our budget and looking at what its useful life is and how we...
There is a vehicle reserve fund, and the bookmobile, I believe, comes up in either 15-16 or 16-17, and we will have the cash to replace it.
So we have a class to fund,
yeah. We've been putting the cash aside for a couple of years now for all the vehicles. So we
that
should
looks
be...
Like a, almost like a fire truck.
Right, exactly. It is. It's a couple of thousand dollars.
I think that calling it just part of the vehicle reserve doesn't do it justice, because it is, in fact, a branch.
It's a branch.
When you think about it.
But the money has been put aside for 2 years now and will continue to be put aside. Yeah.
Uber
that's
RV.
That, it has it.
Be solar powered and
in our dreams.
We pushed out replacement of the bookmobile by a year in order to make the... at the time, just even putting $75,000 away,
I see that as a rationale for incurring debt. I think that in this environment, going in 13-14 for a new bookmobile, 1 or 2 years ahead of schedule, will in the long term save us money. Because I would venture to say that vehicle is going to cost us a lot more in the next 2 years than any kind of debt service we have on the extra $100,000 or whatever we have to infill that fund. That would make me scratch my head and go, at 1%, doing the gap makes sense.
Is there value in the current bookmobile? Because I know we put in a lot of money in state emission standards.
Last bookmobile I dealt with, we sold on eBay.
There's a lot of hippies still in Santa Cruz. That bookmobile is quite the vehicle.
Actually, other people buy them besides libraries.
We can sell to hippie capital.
No, we don't have
the lead time to buy it.
It takes a year.
Does
the time you order a bookmobile to the time you actually have it in hand is 1 year.
there isn't like a showroom somewhere that...
Yeah, actually, there sort of is, but you don't buy off the showroom. They're all custom. Mm-hmm. Oh,
there's another...
Are there U.S. manufacturers?
Yes. That is an argument for starting sooner than later. And again, it goes back to my question 20 minutes ago, which is, why would we have debt? Well, that's important because that bookmobile is not going to run better over the next 2 years. And it's really, it's served us well when you think about it, the life that it's spent on the road.
Last one I dealt with was a lemon, so this one's a dream.
Okay.
Okay. I've got two charts that look almost identical, but they're not the same.
This one,
so the one Marcus just handed out,
one of these things
is with the 2 month operating reserve. But the other one is not wrong. It's a 5% cash flow.
Okay.
5% operating reserve.
The two things look almost the same until you really study them carefully.
No, if you.
This one, and this one, they're all the same.
Yeah, they start out the same net, and then this one is using. If you do know new reserve, you just leave it as 5%. So it's if the board does nothing.
Yeah.
This
okay.
is how you play out.
Yeah.
This is our recommendation that the board would adopt 2 months. And if you by adopting 2 months, there's your net gain of 1 tax.
Okay. For those of us that are challenged, it might be a good thing to highlight the difference of it in the labeling of the chart. Okay, good. Any other budget related issues today? So we're set to approve the budget for the next week?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I just want to do we need an official
report
from the committee? I'm recommending the 2 months.
I thought it came from the retreat. I mean, we already had that, but I
recommending the 2 months. I'm feeling consensus on the 2 months.
Yeah.
And we'll write the rest of it up to be. But
I just, along with Mike's comment, is this is going to be a board policy, or is this, you know, a board goal, like moving forward? So I mean, in terms of, you know, how it impacts the budget, if we need to make adjustments, maybe it could be amended later. I mean, I just don't know if this is a hard fast.
The board can amend it.
Yeah. So I just I think that answers.
Yeah, the board can choose to reduce it from 2 months to 10%.
If it's too aggressive,
a month later.
Right.
What I'm selfishly looking for, like I mentioned, it's not selfish. I think there's value in having it being able to be presented in the face of your financial statements. So you can point to it to anybody in the constituent and say, there's our reserve, there it is.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And to get that, we need the board to officially adopt it as recommended. So if you recall the memo, there's a couple months back, four different reserve policies. We'll just carve out that one, add some additional human language to it, make it a little bit more readable. That as part of the package. And so the big picture are the board is adopting a 2 month reserve policy. There are various conditions in which you can use it, catastrophic, emergency, a sudden drop in revenues, and then a list of other declaration of state emergency, some other categories like that. But in the end, the board, by unanimous vote, can overrule that, amend that policy at any time. So you're not held to it by any standard.
I'm not sure there's much to report out on since we've pretty much gone over it.
It was a good day, and it needs to be considered as a yearly function. Whether we incorporate just monetary issues or library function, just a 5 hour retreat once a year would not hurt this board at all. I don't know that we've ever had one.
Never have. The one recommendation after the two of you left, Dick was there for it, was that we hold it on a cold, rainy day. So
that would probably help.
We might look at it, you know, a different time of year. This time of year is also a very difficult one. And poor Marcus is knee deep in city budget, my budget, this year negotiations.
Sure.
So
February is nice inside a library.
But I'm not in Guatemala, so. But yeah, we'll look maybe a different time of year. But if that's the consensus.
I know we'd also talked about, you had mentioned that some type of board certification. We're the only library in the state that
doesn't have this.
That might be something.
Board effectiveness training.
Oh, wait, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's called board effectiveness training.
And we're the only
Only board in the state, never mind.
So, I mean, that might be some, I don't know, I mean, how many have? Every other board?
Hmm?
Every other board has had it?
Every other library board in the state.
Okay.
How much more effective are certified effective library boards than our effective?
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know what's required of it, but you had mentioned that.
There is, it's available for free.
Something important to do.
For the state library.
But I think we also spent, the purpose was to go into this, the debt issue and what our reserves were. But I could see us focusing on particular topics, you know, so that we're getting down into like a particular area of the library operations, whether it be focusing on children's services or the bookmobile or something like technology, how we want to kind of tackle a particular area that we don't necessarily have a lot of time in a board meeting to get into.
Yeah. And the informal, you know, environment and just the way it was managed, very well done. It was a good day.
Yep.
Okay, the next item is the subcommittee charter, and we've gotten helpful inputs from Marcus and Michael on models for that, and Teresa has pulled together a proposed
From the two of those, I put together. Do you need a copy?
No.
So I pulled this together, and I thought that it's mostly based on Capitola, since it was another government agency that's basically through the vetting process on something like this. But then I tried to make it a little bit more appropriate for our situation.
So what's the best way for us to provide suggestions back to Teresa so that we can incorporate ideas into maybe a final draft that we can look at one more time, and then if we like it, we can propose it to the full board?
Perhaps we should make the suggestions to Teresa via email, just one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
and it comes back to our next committee meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll be in a position to recommend it to the board after we wordsmith it. Because I love what you've done, and both of those, Santa Cruz and Capitola, both had things that we needed, and a lot of things needed to be just done.
Well, the one
wasn't
Santa Cruz. The one was an organization that Marcus is.
Oh, okay.
So it's a nonprofit.
Of some other best practices.
Right.
So that was kind of I didn't include that because it was the crux of it's in here.
Right.
And then I included Capitola so you could kind of see where it came from. But if you want to get back to me with, if you want to do a reviewed copy and mark it up and send it to me, or just send me comments, that would
this be is fine. A great starting point. Thank you for pulling this together.
And I think that the only place that I saw where we might want to add is a framework, because this isn't a board meeting per se. But it is a publicly held meeting, and noticed that we codify our public comments. You know, it's easy when it's just Bruce here, you know, it's almost a discussion at that point.
Right.
But to codify if there were 12 people here who wanted to address us, at what stages, the public comment, you know, classically is an action item. And that there's public comment at the beginning of things not on the agenda, and then there's public comment at certain stages along the way. Certainly, depending on whether we're making a voting recommendation or just to, so the public has an understanding of what we'd expect from them and vice versa.
Well, that was the intent. If you want it spelled out more, that's fine. Under authority and membership, that it's a standing committee and will follow the rules for such a standing committee established by the Brown Act, which in and of itself sets out, you know, what you have to do. But if
and
you want it
arcane
spelled out, that's
as
arcane as it may be. So, but if you want it spelled out more, just tell me what areas you want it spelled out in.
Look, there's a guy stepping out of line right now. I mean, it's rampant. No.
So I would recommend that for this committee, that those rules be the same as for the board. And what the Brown Act says is that the board can establish regulations about public comment. And my observation is the board supervisors and the city council both have that. And the bylaws of the library board say that the chairman can do things with the concurrence of the board, but I haven't really seen the regulations, and I haven't really seen the concurrence either. Everybody kind of sits there, but I haven't really seen any concurrence. So I think you're right that there should be a stated regulation, and it doesn't need to be more than half a page, really.
was going to say, we have a subcommittee in the city of Santa Cruz for public safety, and it's three people like this, three council members, and it tends to be relatively informal. And I think when you start talking about adopting rules that might mimic what the board does, which is actually more formal because you do get more public input and comment, I think it would actually decrease the level of communication that takes place in these types of settings. I know that it's been the case over in for the public safety. So when we talk about board concurrence, subcommittee concurrence, if we feel it's comfortable to have an exchange, we can do that. And I'm sure if someone felt that it was uncomfortable or that it's not productive communications, I'm sure one of us would speak up and say, hey, let's not continue this line of discussion. So there is some value in keeping the rules a little bit more flexible. That, you know, you as a chairperson, you know, keeping order in the discussion. But I like this type of informal exchange at times.
And that's what I was hoping we would incorporate, because, and I understand what you were saying, Bruce, I find that too restrictive on a committee level, especially in a committee where we don't, if you look at our agenda, we don't really have many, if any, action items where you would have a public comment on an issue. So keeping it very loose, like David was saying, but it's good to say that so that people feel that there's input.
So okay, well, I'll try to incorporate both those.
But just understand, you don't have that same, you're unable to do that sometimes at different types of meetings or discussions when there's more board members, when there's, might be more public comment because
more controversy.
It's going to be balanced, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good. I think those are good inputs. Thank you. So, comments back to Teresa.
And I've got that one on something to do with public comment and informal exchange, getting those concepts both in.
Our next meeting is June 20th, so if we get comments back to you in 2 weeks' time, would that work?
I will be gone June 4th to the 9th, so they could be waiting for me when I get back on June 10th. That would be great.
Is this something critical, like for June 20th?
No, we don't make it.
Because we're already even finished the budget. I don't know if there's anything pending.
I mean, this isn't critical.
If you have comments to me by the 10th, then if I can make it by the next week, I will. If not, hopefully you'll be forgiving of.
And there's an outside chance that we'll still be beating the budget to death in Capitola on that night.
Yeah.
I hope to
have it slated to be gone by then.
Are there written communications?
There aren't any.
Okay. Meeting calendar, next meeting, June 20th.
Marcus may not be here, but I think we're probably okay because we're at the end of the year. There isn't going to be, I'd even suggest we cancel. If Mike can't make it.
Do we need a meeting on June 20th?
If it's just this item, I think it could be deferred to the following meeting.
So we'll skip June, meet in July.
Okay. I don't remember the date.
That's all right.
July 22nd.
July 22nd, Monday, July 22nd. Thank you.
Okay. No meeting in June. You can handle one?
I think so.
Okay.
Thank you. That's why I changed some of the wording so it's like we don't have to.
Any other issues today? We are adjourned.
I feel like I just saw you guys all on Saturday.